If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. I'm gonna be coming from the NIV Psalm. I'll be coming from the New King James Version Psalm. So I know there's all kind of distant translation people, you know, people, everybody, theologian and stuff like that. But I'm gonna keep it simple. Some of the NIV, and just to get my point across, and I'm going to read this one scripture, and then we're going to pray, so you'll get the subject of what I'm going to bring today. And very thankful to be here today in the house of God, and yet another day. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49 reads as follows. Why did you seek me? This is Jesus talking. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Father, we want to worship you this morning. Thank you for your words, that your words are true, your word forever settled in heaven. You said heaven may pass away, but your words never will. We want to thank you for the word of God, the living word of God, your son Jesus Christ. And this morning, Father, it's all about your son, Jesus Christ, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you will help me to teach this lesson, Lord, be as plain as I can be, and to glorify you and honor you. And I pray, Lord, that someone on the sound of my voice will get to with the meaning of what you are trying to teach today. And I give you all the glory, honor, and praise this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And about maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, I think I changed spots with somebody. I taught this lesson, but I wasn't fully prepared to teach it, so I'm going to teach it again. But when I was in the Army in 1975, I went to the Army in April of 1975, and like I say before, my memory is not as sharp. I'm 69 years old, my memory is not real sharp. I can go to the truck sometime, my work truck, and I start going to my work truck, and I get to my work truck, and I said, what did I come to get? I got to go back where I was at when I thought about it to get my mind going, Brother Bobby. You can relate there one day. But this was spoken to me in 1975, April of 1975. I had a drill sergeant named Drill Sergeant Sanchez. He would always say, to me it was just crazy, and that it just come in my spirit 3 or 4 months ago. He would always say, you don't have to, but you must. I said, man, that don't make no sense at all. You don't have to, but you must. So if you go to the Word of God this morning, if we go to the Word of God, the Word that never fades away, heaven and earth will pass away, but its words never will. I'm going to emphasize on this one word, must. And there's some things that the Bible said we must do. There's some things that I know in the Bible I'm going to put must in front of George. George Westbrook must do. I know myself. So I pray that each and every one of you guys get something out of that this morning. I pray that the anointing of God be here this morning, the presence of God be here this morning, that I move out of the way and let the Holy Spirit speak through me this morning in Jesus' name. In the Bible, the word must often translate the Greek word DEI. Meaning is necessary, highlight divine requirements, urgency, and spiritual truth. Son of Jesus must. He came here for one purpose, to redeem man. So he had some things that he was obedient to the Father. So the Father had, he had some orders. He had some orders. You know, like Drill Sergeant Sanchez, we was in the military. So you had to be obedient. He said, you don't, he said, he was being sarcastic, really. He said, you don't have to, but you must. If you don't do it, there are going to be consequences if you don't do it. You must do this. You don't have to, but you must. If you don't do it, there's consequences. And Jesus, some of the things that Jesus, I'm going to go impart what Jesus, some of Jesus must. You know, first of all, what we read, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He said, when he was at, when he, they went to, Mary and Joseph went there to be a censor. So they went to, Bethlehem and Jerusalem to get censored. So he was there it was a 2 or 3 day trip. So when they got halfway back, he said, where's Jesus at? They missed Jesus, 12-year-old Jesus, baby boy Jesus. So they went back, he was in the temple. He asked him a question. He made a statement in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He said, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? So if you have your Bible let's start with John 4:4. Talking about must. These are on this line, on this heading, is some things Jesus said, I must do. But he had orders, like a military, he had orders from the Father. He must do these things. In John 4:4. And some translation says need be or necessary, but it's all the same realm, must. I must be about my Father's business. In John chapter 4, verse 4. This story is 2 or 3 instances about Jesus talking about must in this. So he's going, the story is, a little about the stories. See, today I'm not going to get deeper into the stories, but I'm talking about when Jesus, with the word must. You know, then I'm going to get back where it applies to us, some things we must do. So Jesus said, therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees that heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist, but Jesus didn't baptize anyone. But he left Judah and departed again to Galilee. But he said, I need to go through Samaria. He said, I must go through Samaria because there was a woman that he had an appointment with. The woman of Samaria, he had an appointment with her. He said, it's necessary for me to go do this. I got an appointment with this lady. She don't know it, but I must go through there. I must go to Samaria. So the story, as we read the story in John chapter 4, that the woman at the well, I'm switching over to the NIV. See, what it was, the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't like each other, because some of the Samaritans had interacted, some of the Jews interacted with Samaritans, so that they didn't jihad together. So, see, the hatred between the Jews and Samaritans went back to the days of exile. Samaria was the region between Judah and Galilee. When the northern kingdom was exiled to Assyria, King Sargon repopulated the area with captives from other lands. In the intermarriage of these foreigners and the Jews who had been left complicated ancestry of the Samaritans. The Jews hated Samaritans and considered them to be no longer pure Jews because they had entered. But Jesus said, I must go through there. So as we read the story, it says it's about must. So you know the story of the woman at the well when he asked her, give me something to drink, and you know, and she talked about the well is deep and all that, but that's not, I know you guys that read the Bible know the story, but this is not, I'm not doing a story, I'm not doing the whole story. I'm concentrating on the things that Jesus said I must do. He said, I must go through Samaritan. So I'm gonna get back to John chapter 4, but if you got your Bibles, either John Matthew 16 and 21 and Luke 9 and 22, it tells about the same story almost. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Talking about some things that Jesus said, I must do. I must be by my Father's business. I must go through Samaria. I must. He's being obedient. Let's go Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. I might say in Luke chapter 9, 22. From the time Jesus began to show his disciple that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day, he said, I must. He said he must go to Jerusalem. No option. He must be obedient to the Father and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed. But he'd be raised on the third day. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 22. It's similar. Talking about must. These are some of the things that Jesus said, I must do. I must be. He had orders from the Father, like you would in the military. You have orders that you must carry out. He was obedient to the Father. He said, I do nothing. I don't do it unless I see my Father do it. In Luke chapter 9, verse 22. But in 21, he says, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. So that's Matthew and Luke. That's both of them talking. But he's talking, he's doing the Father's business, about the Father's business. He had orders. Let's go to verse John chapter 9, verse 4. A lot of scriptures. Talking about must. Let's start with verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And the disciple asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God must be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Emphasize on verse number 4. I must work the work of him who sent me. I must. It's necessary. I need be. Do the will of the Father. That's what I came here for. I must. So them some things that Jesus emphasized. So what about us? In the Bible, what does it tell some things that we must do? There's some requirements we must meet. There's some requirements we must meet. If you got your Bible, turn to John chapter 3, verse 5. Praise God. There is some must we must do. John chapter 3, verse 5. It's a story with Nicodemus. Like everybody said, if you read it, it's a very familiar story for those who read your Bible. Nicodemus. I'm going to start with verse 1. My title said the new birth. I'm with him. Jesus, some of the things are required of us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came by Jesus by night. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher, come from God. For no one can do these things, these signs that you do, unless God is with you. Jesus asked and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless you one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the spirit, there got to be a spiritual birth in you. That's why Paul described, sometimes people are carnal Christians. Everything they see, they naturally. But Jesus said, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul told us, set your affections on things above. When you're born again, you're too wise to sit there and listen to CNN and Fox News all day and make them challenge your God. Them things that you know, Pastor Chris was saying, I didn't realize it, and everything. I'm gonna be honest and be transparent. I do not believe nothing on Facebook. I got ganked. I got ganked the other day. Wisdom, guys, and I'm learning. I learned that. I said, I don't believe nothing on here. So I'm going to tell it. I want you to pray for me. My PSA level is high. And, you know, I went to the doctor, urologist. I went to the urologist, the same one Pastor Bill went to. And they said, well, your PSA level is high. I said, you right there, you're at 6, but you ain't too high, but you ain't too low. You're right there in the middle. I said, about a 25% chance it might be cancerous. But he said, I'm going to do an MRI, then we might do a biopsy on it. Just going to make sure. So, you know, it sort of got me back a little bit, got me thinking about everything and stuff like that. And, you know, so I got to thinking. But then, I got online and I looked at this thing and said, man, this is a miracle. This is a miracle healing thing, this pill. They had Denzel Washington on there. Had one David Muir or something on there. And I said, honey, go order this stuff right here. I'm going to try this, you know. I'm going to try it. And we ordered. It wasn't $39. Talking about having wisdom, being born again. Don't listen to everything. So for some reason, I went on and did it, Pastor. Then I said, let me look it up. I said, what's the review? What's about this? They said, they're using these actors, and they're using David Muir and Denzel Washington. They're using their face, but the voice is AI. It's AI. It's a fake. It's a fake. What's your point you're making, Brother Joe? If you're born again, you won't fall for each and everything that the devil puts out there, because a lot of things he's putting out there on CNN and Fox News, it's not real. It's not real. I don't believe nothing on it. I don't believe zero on it. I don't believe nothing on it. Tell me getting ganked. Yeah, we ordered all this stuff. And I looked, I said, how much? I said, God, she's laying in bed. I said, honey, all this stuff. You know, it's supposed to drink your prosperation, do all this stuff right here. And it's fake. Being born again, you be wise. You don't speak too quick about things. You don't open your mouth about things. You check things and know what's real and not real. When you're born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will guide you if you let Him. If you listen, you get a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That voice will tell you. You get a check in your spirit. And if you don't do it, if you don't listen, that sometimes there's consequences. There's consequences. You don't listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you, don't do this. Don't go here. I know some jobs I've taken this year, this in 2026, and I got a check in my spirit that said, don't take that job. And I took it. And I wish I hadn't took it. I wish I'd been obedient to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us. We are born again. The Bible says, Jesus, set your affections on things above. You know, I never realized that why would a born again believer trust in man? I'm going to vote for him because he's going to get me jobs. He's going to open the economy. He's going to do this. He's going to do all this. What about God? What did God promise about? He'll be your source. He's Almighty God. He said, the cows on 1,000 hills is mine. So what I'm looking at, he said, I'm going to provide all your needs. The David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Tell me, we must be born again. We must be born again. We can't depend on the world system. The world system fails all the time. I don't care who's in. Democrat, Republican, Independent, the world system is going to fail all the time. But God's system never fails. You're born again, believe you, trust in God. Don't trust in man. The Bible says over and over, I don't know why we don't listen. The Bible said in Psalm 118:8, probably the center of the Bible, it's better to put your 118:8. It says, it's better to trust in God than it is man. Because man going to fail you, but God never will. God never will. So that's some things that we must be obedient to. John chapter 3, verse 5. Nicodemus, you must be born again. No options. You must be born again to enter. You must be born again. Let's go to John 3 and 30. This is John the Baptizer talking. He said, I must decrease. So you can increase. John chapter 3, verse 30. Therefore, he said, he must increase, and I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speak of the earth. So he's saying, John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he can increase. I must decrease. To me personally, my opinion, George Witherspoon's opinion, why you don't see signs, wonders, and miracles like we used to, because people won't take credit for it. Man won't take credit for it. Man won't stand up and say, you know, something happened. I did. Don't want to give God the glory. And God said it, he said it twice in the Old Testament. I think Jeremiah. He said, I will share my glory with no one. No one. That's what John said. Then John the Baptist, you know, he everybody was trying to figure out who he was, John the Baptist. You know, he came, he's a forerunner for Christ. You know, John the Baptist, he had a job to do. But he said, hey, you know, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. He identified Jesus at the River Jordan, I think it was. He identified him. Then later on, when he get ready to get beheaded, he killed him and said, are you the one? Or shall we look for another? But his job was over. So no confusion between who Jesus was, who John the Baptist was. So John had to decrease, so Jesus increased. And that's what we must do. We must do that. Jesus said we must crucify this flesh. We must die to ourselves. This thing must decrease. So the spirit in us can increase. This flesh got to decrease. We got to decrease, guys. We've got to be more about the Father's business ourselves. We must be about the Father's business ourselves. Everybody say the end time. To me, is I don't know. I know years and years, people said the end time. But I don't know, guys, but I said this George Wilson again. I don't see things getting much worse. I can't see things getting much worse. If it does, I can't see it. Everything is set for Jesus to come back. I can't see things much getting worse. But we must be by the Father's business. There, the harvest is plentiful, but where are the labors? Where are the labors? Where are the real labors at? And I tell you today, God, it's hard out there. It's hard being a laborer out there in the field. It's hard. It's real hard. You got people that don't want to hear the gospel. You got people that don't want to hear the gospel, don't want to be helped. It's hard. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we got to do what the Word says. We must be about the Father's business. Let's see what John 12 and 26 says. John 12 and 26. I got it written down wrong. I think 12 and 26. Okay, yeah. This is from the NIV. Let me see what the King James Version say. This is from the must in John chapter 12, verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also would be. My Father will honor the ones who serve me. Whoever serves me must follow me. Not your own agenda, not your own traits, but you have to follow Jesus. He said, the harvest is ready, but he said, I must be by my Father's business. So if he's by his Father's business, we must be by our Father's business. We must follow him. He said, whoever serves me must follow me. If you're not following me, you're not serving. You're serving yourself or serving your flesh. Let's see what it says about salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12. So what the must say about salvation? This is a story, a little content of the story. This is when Peter and John was going to worship at the gate called Beautiful. And this lame man, was laying there. Everybody knew he'd been lame from birth. And he come by, Peter and John, he was at the gate begging alms. And he said, as he was begging, Peter and John looked at him and said, "Silver gold we have not, but what we have will get to the name of Jesus." The man immediately jumped up. He was lame from birth. That's kind of the story, but I say the must. Then they brought him in, they arrested him. And they brought Peter and John in and started questioning him. You know, He tells them all this, you know, y'all have rejected Jesus. Y'all rejected the chief cornerstone. This is the stone which y'all rejected by you builders, which have become the chief cornerstone. That's verse 11. But verse 12, he says, salvation. So there is salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. Must be saved. Salvation is only found in Jesus. It's not found in Buddha. It's not found in Muhammad. It's not found. I know Yahweh. I know different. I studied different theologians. I mean, different names. Yahweh. Emmanuel and all that stuff. And we call him Jesus. People get so tied up in that. That goes over the head. They get so tied up in names and stuff like that. There's no other name. I know Yahweh, he's different names. Like I say, last month, if I was in Mexico, my name would be Jorge. And Jorge in Mexican. So in America, God does not condemn us for using Jesus, the name of Jesus. So many theologians try to change things around. So many things are going on now, try to every wind, every doctrine, try to get you off. But salvation is found in no other name. One name that you must be saved in, and that's the name of Jesus. No other name except the name of Jesus. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 22. Some things we must do. In the NIV translation, it said in verse 1 and verse 22, we must be doers of God's word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and he observes himself, go away, immediately forget what kind of man he was. We must be doers of God's word, not only speakers of God's word, we must be doers of God's word. That's some things that pertain to salvation of men and women, let's say about being born again, then love. I'm going to start with this in John chapter 13, 34 and 35 from the NIV. I thank you. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We must have love one for another. That's how you can identify a true believer. Do you ever have incidents where you get confrontation with people? Yes, you do. You live in the world. You don't walk around on the cloud and talk to angels. I don't, and talk to angels all day and fellowship with the Holy Spirit all day. We have natural. We see people that we have confrontation about things one day, but some days, but. If you love somebody, you can forgive them. That's great. You know, the only thing that's greater than hate is love. That's how Jesus said, you can identify me, you can identify my disciples, my followers, you can identify them that they have love one for another. That's how you can identify them, not by the vehicle they drive, not by the eloquent speech, not by the fancy cars, or not by the jewelry that they wear, but by this, all men will know you, my disciples, that we have love one for another. In John chapter 13, 34, in NIV, it said you must love one another. Like an order, like a military, you must love one another. You must love one another. In 1 John 4 and 21, you know, that talks about love. 1 John 4 and 21. And his command we have from him. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This is the word of God. You must love your brother. You must love mankind. Do we love everything they do? No, we don't. Do we greet everything they do? No, we don't. But we must have that love in our heart. And some things that, this is exclusive for me. I'm teaching myself this morning. This right here. George, you must guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the issue of your heart, out of your heart flow the issue of life. So George, you must be careful what you watch and listen to. You must guard your heart with all diligence, because your heart, once again, here's where is the entrance to my heart? My eyes and my ears. I'm going to be careful what I listen to. I'm going to be careful what I listen to and what I see. I must guard my heart with all diligence, because out of my heart flow the issue of life. There's some things that George Wilson must do. I must put on the whole armor of God each and every day, because we're in a spiritual warfare, guys. Peter said, that the devil goes around as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. I got to put on the whole armor of God each and every day. I got to put it on, Brother Donnie, each and every day. I must. I don't know about nobody else. I must put on the whole armor of God. Because when I go out here, when I leave my house, I'm going to a battlefield. I'm going to a battlefield. I must be equipped. I must put on the word of God. I must put on the whole armor of God. I must read his words. I must pray. I must fellowship with like believers. The Bible said, forsake not yourself, assemble together, and somehow. I must come to the house of God. You know, I love being around you guys. I love being around like-minded believers. I love it. I think that's essential. I must be around my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I must be. That's not an option for me. That's not an option. I give up Sunday morning like I did when I first got 30 years ago. When I got saved. I said I must go to the house of God. Yeah, that's interesting, on the house of God. Unity, we assemble together. This is where we assemble at. You know, some people say, oh, you ain't got to go, you ain't got to go to church to be saved. You ain't got to go this. But it says in one of the commentaries, says you be yourself an ocean. I say, I've been a thing 30 years, and I'm wise enough to know I ain't got to fall. If I see you fall off a cliff, I see you fall off a cliff, I'm going to turn around. I'm not walking that way. I see many people, and there's nothing negative, and not talking about anyone in particular. But over my 30 years and about four of church where I've been in, I see many people give them leave. Many people give them leave because something didn't go right, or this song. I don't know what happened in the background. I don't do the background stuff. I know there's a lot of stuff go on, but I don't do the background Christian in any church. I don't get off in the gospel, the background. But I see people leave for other reasons. Maybe the loved ones had died and they got mad at us, and mad at the church. And maybe I've seen a lot of worship teams, though not here, but other places where they bickering amongst each other and they get up and leave. They lead a worship team, they leave church and leave God. But then I see a bunch of them come back. We're not made to live on our own. We must have our brothers and sisters. I seen people leave, then why don't I do the church and something happened? Hey, pray for me. They come back to church praying for it. I don't want to do that. I must come. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. Like I said to the pastor, I said, I don't know no books you wrote, and I didn't see you on TBN or none of them shows like that. I didn't see you on none of them. And, you know, we ain't got no cathedral worth of $2 million. But I think we have love here. I think we have love here. That's the main theme of God. God said, by this all men will know you're my disciple. We have love one for another. I can feel the love of people here at the house of God here at Sister Christian Fellowship. I can feel the love. I ain't saying other people ain't got the love at other church, but I'm saying here. I can only speak of what I see and what I feel. And last but not least, but Jesus said, back to the woman Samaritan, he said, hey, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. He said, our Father worship you over here, and we worship you over here. He said, that's no to obey us. You must worship me in spirit and truth. And the commentary is saying, people think they got God in a box. Certain denomination. Well, if you don't go to church, you'll hear you're not saved. If you don't go to church, you'll hear you're not saved. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, baptized in Jesus' name, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, when the trumpet blows, you ain't gonna be able to hear it. All people can hear it is the people that are baptized in Jesus' name. Only ones that hear this, it's speaking in tongues. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, you're not going to heaven. Who'd you die for? Who'd you die for? What denomination died for me? If you decide to leave Sister Christian Fellowship, I'm sure we're not gonna get them and say, well, you ain't Sister Christian Fellowship anymore. You going to hell? No, we would never say that. This ain't big enough. We never say that here at Sister Christian Fellowship. But I must put on the whole armor of God, because the enemy, each and every day, you got to be discerned. I say the wisest thing for somebody to do is check things out before you run your mouth. I see a lot of arguments on Facebook. They argue about things that really they don't even know nothing about they're arguing about. They just arguing. But we must, I must pull on the whole armor of God. I must be about my Father's business. I must. I can't say it for you, but I must. There's some things that we must do as children of Most High God. Do we fail? Yes, we fail. Do we always feel good? No, we don't always feel good. Do I always be obedient to? I don't always be obedient to God's word. I fail a whole lot, but I know we have a very powerful, loving Father. There's nothing too hard for. There's nothing impossible. So this morning, as I close, I say we must be about our Father's business, because Jesus said, "I was sick and you didn't come and see me. I was in prison, you didn't come and visit me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me nothing to drink. I was hungry, you didn't give me nothing to eat." See, when we see you thirsty, when we see you hungry, when we see you naked, when we see you in prison, when we see you sick, he said, what you did to the least of my brothers, you did unto me. And I close with this, God, be wise. You know, that don't mean you go out there throwing money and giving people. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit, I think. Yeah, because you got some slick people out here. You got some slick ones out here. You got some in need. And giving somebody something to eat, I don't care what they did. I don't care how they blow their money. I can go buy you a meal. That won't hurt at all. Because love conquers hate. Love is the greatest thing we have, guys. When I was on drugs, Brother Lee, one thing impacted me more. I was on drugs. I was out there. I was a crackhead. I was a stone cold crackhead, homeless. You could tell I was a crackhead. I was unbathed. I was unclean. I wore ragged clothes. But one thing impacted me more than anything. I wanted $10 from this guy. I said, "Hey, Robert Pruitt, his name." I said, "You got it? I need give me something to eat." He reached in his wallet. He said, "Here's $10. He said, "I hope you don't do what you're supposed to do with it." He said, "But let me tell you something, George." He said, "This is not my money. It's God's money. What you do with it between you and God." Here's a crackhead. That impacted me up to this day. That statement right there. I said, "It ain't my money. It's God's money. What you do with it between you and God." And Father, we just want to worship you this morning as one true living God. And we ask you to help us, Lord, to do what you call us to do, Lord, to carry that charge, Lord, to be about the Father's business and to love one another above all. We give you all the glory and the praise this morning. We know there's nobody like you, Jesus. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in this house today. We'll be mindful, Lord, always to give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, that name which is above every name, amen.